I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome, Never Nation. Welcome back to another episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am Jody Sweeten, last I checked, and I am joined by...
Celia Behar.
Hi, Celia.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm processing some stuff on this very special episode of Blossom. today's episode's gonna be something else, I guess. We've never done this before, and so we'll talk. I don't know how
Celia
to
just... and I are breaking up.
Yeah, so yeah, well,
just kidding.
Sorry, we're not breaking up.
No.
Well, Jody and I are not breaking up, but we're gonna talk about today parenting through heartbreak. And I will probably cry throughout this episode. And I think people have sort of picked up based on social media things that I've put up. And we've also said a couple times over the last couple episodes that I was going through some stuff.
Yes.
And what I was going through is a breakup. And I never thought I'd say that I had to parent through losing another person in my life and how that was going to affect me and my kids. Mm-hmm. And it's been really hard. And I'm going to say I'm not going to talk about the reasons why, because the reasons why don't matter.
And there's also 13 of them, and it would take a really long time.
And it would take a really, that's a whole other series. And Brenda Strong has that covered. I am going to just say that I am heartbroken that it happened. And I'm not going to lie about that. I was really, you and I talked about it when it happened. That obviously we talk about it like every day, but, right. You know, we talked about how to handle it on the show, because obviously I've talked about my relationship with Dustin a lot, you know, all the fans out there that make little, you know, things about us and stuff, yeah. Which are super cute. Like,
stop doing that.
A lot of them actually know, luckily.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Dee Dee. And so we were like, at first, like, you were like, we just won't address it. Fuck it. We just won't talk about
it. Well, I was just, left to my own devices. Right. I am queen of avoiding any and all. Like, that sounds uncomfortable. Let's not do that.
But, well,
but I also
you.
Was like, I also, it's not my place. I can't be like dragging you through and be like, no, you should really talk about something that's really painful that you're going through. Like, I think you should exploit that and let's talk about it in front of people.
I understand. I mean, obviously, listen, that's my go-to as well. And
is exploiting people?
No. Is to not.
Sorry.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
Also, now everyone gets to see how I deal with.
Yeah, she's gonna be uncomfortable.
And, I get to be uncomfortable. And sorry, I start making jokes.
Thank God you do. No, I mean, so I also was like, I'm gonna go hide in hole. We're never gonna talk about this. We'll just pretend it never happened. But the more that the time has gone on, it's been a few weeks now. The more I kept thinking about the fact that
wait, it's been a few weeks.
It has. It's been 2 weeks now. Yeah, not that I'm counting, but it's been.
Where
two
have
weeks.
I been?
Well, dealing with me.
Well, yeah, but
in a hole.
Why did I feel like it was?
It's been 2 weeks. Yeah, oh,
and I'm sorry.
It's all right. I kept thinking about how if I was dealing with this, then there are other people that have dealt with this, and that's usually when I decide if something's really scary and painful, and I'm looking for resources about it online, trying to figure out how to manage, you know, my heart and my kids and my kids' hearts. Then other people have gone through it. And while it would be easier, I think, in a million ways for me to not talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about the relationship itself or anything like that or what happened. I really want to be respectful about everything because I don't have anything bad to say.
And I think, too, what we're talking about here is sort of the overarching how to do this while heartbroken and what, you know what I mean? And I won't ask you weird, uncomfortable questions.
I know you. Well, you are. You know everything.
I mean, I will, but not on this podcast.
Right. You know everything anyhow. Right. So I think the biggest thing that we've talked about before, like, you know, even the last episode when we had Nicole on, she had brought up, you know, introducing somebody new into
your
you know, family and what a big deal that is. And you and I have both gone through. And listen, I want to say, like, you've gone through this as well, you know, in your past with kids
a few times.
Yeah. I think that what doesn't, and that gets talked about a lot, you know, how to bring somebody into your family and how to, you know, get your kids involved and when it's the right time and all that stuff. And what's not really talked about is the loss that you go through when that person is gone. It's not a divorce. You know, they're not the father of your children, but they've become important, an important part of your kids' lives and of your life, and how that all factors in.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot to unpack because it's not just, you know, it's not just your stuff and it's not just your kids' relationship. It's a whole mess of things. And yeah, it is not fun or easy.
It's not. And
I'm just going to be over here tripping over words because there's a lot of emotion. There's just a lot of emotion. And I want to hug you, but I know that would not make it anything better.
Maybe at the end. We'll see. I will say I need to give props to my kids in like the biggest way possible. The way that my children have handled this has been honestly like nothing short of beautiful. Where they could have felt betrayed and angry, they haven't. They felt really sad, really heartbroken. More than not, they have felt sad for him, mm-hmm. for letting us go, mm-hmm. And they've been really heartbroken for me.
Yeah,
at times, you know, each of them have spoken to me about missing him, missing things together. thinking that this was all going to pan out and be something that it didn't. Mm-hmm. There was a hope that it would turn around. I don't know if they're holding on to that or not. They haven't said that to me recently. But Jesus, I mean, they have like stepped up. I can't even tell you. And this is the whole, you know, heartbreak and parenting thing. Like they are watching me for probably the third time now in their life just fall the fuck apart because I went through a divorce in front of them. I lost my sister in front of them. And now this is going on. And they are so like graceful with all of it. There has been like no anger at any of it, like just complete empathy and feelings and love and, you know, wanting to figure out how we heal together.
Well, they're great kids. And I think, you know, you've done a really good job at showing them how to step up for someone when their heart is broken and when they're sad and when they need that. And so kudos to you for that. And, you know, also they're older now. They're older. They get it. They're able to understand and to empathize more with how you feel and how, you know what I mean? And also, they're just in a different place where they can actually step up a little bit and support you while you're going through this. So shout out to Harper and Lulu. I love you, ladies. You're doing a great job. Thank you for being awesome kids.
I also do want to say I'm going to give a shout out to my ex-husband and their stepmom, who also have been very amazing through this they both have stepped up and checked on me and, you know, sort of done more for the girls knowing that they were going through it. And I have to say, as somebody, you know, anyone out there who's divorced, you know, and has whatever type of relationship with your ex-husband, when you have, you know, a new partner and that relationship doesn't pan out, I think the fear is, or at least it is for me, I'm not going to speak for everyone, of like being judged, like, oh yeah, your relationship worked out, you're married again, and like here I've introduced this person to our children who's now gone, and oh my God, what, you know, are you going to be mad at me about it? And that was not the reaction at all. It was nothing but empathy and support from that side. And God, their stepmom, Jennifer, I could not appreciate her more right now. She also has been like phenomenal.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is when, you know, when we're in pain, we need everyone, the whole village to step up. So
God knows you and Sunny have been leading the charge of fucking personal village of holding me up.
All I want to know is did you eat all of the milk bar cake that I sent?
That pie.
Dude,
what the fuck? So you guys, so I had a really, this past weekend, I'm not even going to get into what happened, but it was like such an epic shit show.
It was just a series of unfortunate events, Lemony.
It was bad. Like, bad, you guys. Like, accident after accident after accident that involved Dustin, which really fucking sucked. It was like, I was laughing and crying so hard. And I just told Jody some of it this morning, and she started laughing and crying at the same time, because it's just, like, fucking bad. So, of course, and everyone knows when I have anxiety, I don't eat. So this asshole sends me a fucking milk bar pie.
I did, and I was just like, you have to eat something.
She was like, eat until you don't feel anymore. I posted it, actually, on my story.
Eat until you don't feel anymore.
And then my friend Sunny sends me, I'm not joking, I think she sent me like half of the fucking bakery of Russ and Daughters from New York, which is one of my favorite places.
Amazing.
I mean, like, I think we got like 2 dozen bagels and then like 2 babkas and black and white cookies, like a New York Jew would send.
Black and white cookies are my favorite. I have black and white cookies in my ice cream last night. I went on a sugar binge.
It was like, all I've been eating is babka and fucking pie. Like,
well, good.
And then I made lasagna. I had, you know, I like to cook. So I made lasagna for Heartburner Friends the other day. I have that. I have some Chinese food. I'm getting better about eating something. I'm not going to say I'm great. I'm not, but I'm trying. And then Joan and Gemma and you sent me flowers, which was also very sweet. And then I think as I posted thanking people in my story, people probably thought like someone died. And something did die.
Right.
So I guess there's that. And just,
but it wasn't,
you know,
Willa.
But it was Willa. I did not kill anything as I left that relationship. I swear to God, there was no getting even or anything like that.
Oh boy. Yeah. Well, oh man. Now I just want to
eat pie.
I just want to eat pie. And
I almost brought it, but I'm honestly, there's not that much left. We ate a lot of it.
That makes me very happy.
Yeah.
Well, after the break, we will return and talk about what we can do as parents when we are heartbroken and our children have to experience a version of us that they may have never seen before. So we will be right back. One of the most important things for Celia and I is spending our money on products that actually mean something to us. And that's why we absolutely love the new lifestyle apparel brand, Ivory Ella.
This is very true. Not only does Ivory Ella make the most adorable clothing, it donates 10% of profits to Saving the Elephants and other charitable causes, which we love.
You know how I absolutely love elephants. And it was actually launched by college students and a high school teacher, and organically grew into one of the largest and most passionate communities of supporters wanting to make a difference in the world, which is only one of the reasons why I love Ivory Ella.
Me too, especially because Ivory Ella has donated over $2 million in charitable causes. It's creating fantastic clothing for a good cause.
I love to be able to do good with what I buy. And the sweatshirts that I have from them are the softest. Like, they are absolutely perfect. I may or may not have worn one to like sleep in and then just rolled out of bed and the next day and worn it and then maybe rolled back into bed in it later.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, some of their shirts are my favorite shirts. They're so soft. They fit perfectly. They don't shrink in the wash. It's, you know, it's a great brand.
It really is. And like I said, my love of elephants, you know, protecting elephants is a big task, but one Ivory Ella is committed to. And they're doing it by making responsible, sustainable designs that are comfortable, extremely cute, and trendy.
Seriously, my kids love it too. And I really can't stress that enough, seeing as I can't even find my sweatshirts from them because they have clearly stolen them. I love their products too. I'd like my sweatshirts back. It's no wonder that, you know, this company went viral after debuting on America's Country Music Awards in 2015 with 500 shirts sold in 10 minutes and pre-orders backed up for over 100 days, their first year in business. Come on.
And then everything you buy from Ivory Ella helps save the world a little bit, which I love. And in addition to helping elephants through the Save the Elephants charity, they also donate to Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, Cyber Smile Foundation, Reef Restoration Foundation, American Heart Association, Hearts and Bones, and more.
Now you can be part of the herd. Go get your Ivory Ella products for 15% off using the code SAYTHIS at ivoryella.com/collections/new arrivals. That is ivoryella.com/collections/new-arrivals.
Welcome back. Today, we are talking about how to navigate the grieving process when a relationship ends, something that Celia is in the process of doing right now. And I love you, my friend.
I love you too.
And God, it's amazing how uncomfortable I get with feelings. I like start stuttering. I like don't know what
it's
to
hilarious.
Do. I'm like, scratching my head. Because I want, here's what it is. I so desperately want to make you feel better and like not feel any pain that I don't know what to do because I can't fix it. And when I can't fix it, then it's just something I avoid. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I can't do something about that. We're just going to pretend it's not there. But I just love you. And
I love you too. I mean, listen, as per usual, there's over the last 8 years, you're the constant in, you know, you're the constant in my life. And that's something that, thank God, you know, thank
which is
God.
Why we're getting tattooed on Friday.
We are getting
Yay!
Tattooed on Friday.
See? Happy news. Yay. Okay.
Yeah. And like I said to you the other day, you know, when I got in the car to go to John and Caitlin's, I said to her, after, you know, like as we started driving, because I'd been feeling so fucking awful. And I just looked at her at one point and I said, when I'm with you, I'm okay. And it's true. When I'm with you, I'm okay. So there's your feelings. Feel uncomfortable with that, asshole.
Oh, boy. I don't know what to do now. I'm going to go.
Oh, my God. You're okay. All right.
Thanks, friend.
Thank you. Thanks
I'm
for the pie.
I'm going to pretend I'm a human and I know what to do now.
Oh, it's so much,
oh,
guys.
God. You know what? It's life is a shit show. And walking through stuff like this with your kids allows them to see you as human. And you are human. And your kids are old enough now that your humanity doesn't scare them. Because it doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like their lives are out of control. They're old enough to separate like, oh, mom's upset. Like something happened. And I feel really bad for that.
Yeah.
But you've been getting a lot of great help from this article, this 2015 article from Time magazine called mm-hmm. Parenting While Heartbroken, The Do's and Don'ts.
Don't hold yourself too accountable to these, by the way.
That's one of the do's. Yeah.
Yeah.
The,
no. Like if you did a don't.
Oh, whatever.
Whatever, man.
I've don'ted my way through most of my life.
I mean, you and me fucking both.
Right.
I don'ted my way through most of my life.
Yep. I did. And
sorry.
I probably could have written this article.
Well, that might have to be the title of this episode. I don'ted myself through most of my life.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, other people have don'ted me. Other people went, don't. And I was
and
like,
then you
ha!
Did it anyway.
And I did it.
Yeah.
You know, breaking up is, it's a loss. It's a grief. It's like, it changes. It's, you know, it's got all the fun things of Kubler-Ross's seven stages of grief.
Yeah.
So, I'm so glad I remember Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
She's the best. Lulu said to me the other day in the closet, she said, Mom, do you know that there are seven stages of grief? And I looked at her and I said, Lulu, what is my job? And she goes, oh, right.
That's right. It's all of those things except the hardest part, which is that you can call that person if you so desire or get drunk enough and make a really terrible decision that you wish you hadn't called them.
Yeah.
But like it's almost in that regard, like you can't, you know what I mean? Like you have to know that this person is existing and still continue walking away. You know, it really affects our minds and bodies. This is a huge stress. A 2010 study published in Personality
wow.
and
Hi, Fran Drescher. Oh, what was that?
I don't know.
She like became the nanny for a second.
My brain slowed down.
Woo.
Published in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin found that parts of the brain and the person who was broken up with light up in the same areas that can be triggered from physical pain and even cocaine addiction. And additionally, these researchers found that romantic heartbreak can lead to clinical depression, addictive behaviors, suicide, etc. But you know, sadness, irritability, fatigue, distractedness, all of that stuff is there are things that you're going through. And, you know, Dr. Chris Overtree, who's a child and family psychologist, said that it's common for parents to act like nothing's wrong and to try to hide not only the breakup, but how they're feeling from their children. And oftentimes kids can sense that. Like kids know that something's wrong despite their parents' decision to shield them from the truth.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, for me...
And also coming down the hall with, like, mascara on your face and sobbing, I feel like they might be like, but mother, what's wrong?
Yeah, there was no doing that in my case. And first of all, I felt it coming on. I kind of knew the night before, and I prepped my children for it, both of which went into very fast denial, which was definitely hard to watch, knowing that, like, and really having to just sort of let them be there in that denial until I had confirmation of it. Right. And once I did, you know, I had them each come in and like talk to me separately. You know, there was no doing anything but cry. I was crying. There's just no way. And something shifted in me after my sister died that made it so that honestly, like I used to feel so uncomfortable with emotions. I know I joke about it, but I don't anymore. Right. I don't actually feel that way anymore. Something broke like wide open in me when Julie died in a really good way, which is hard to say because I feel like I actually feel pain a lot deeper in a way. And like you said to me the other day, you were like, remember, this is a culmination of all losses. It's not just this loss.
Right.
And that was good for me to hold on to because that's exactly right. But I think I really do understand, not that you don't because you've also had some pretty huge losses in your life. I think when you lose people that you love, things that you love, I'm going to put pets in there too, something in you breaks open so hard that all of a sudden you take stock of life and love and you let love in deeper, which you would think, you know, you'd shut
down.
Or you shut down.
There's one of two ways. And you either decide it's worth that good feeling to feel this shitty, or I just don't ever want to feel it again and I'm just going to go sit in my tower.
Listen, I've done that too. Like in my life with breakups, that's always what I've done. But it just, since she passed. And so there was no hiding it from my kids.
Right. Trying to hide grief and the grieving process usually results in it coming out sideways anyway.
Right. They're going to know something's wrong and they may think it's them, you know, that they did something.
Right. And that's, you know, kids oftentimes place the blame in their parents' behaviors shift to themselves because they do live in a me-centric universe.
Boy, do
children live in a me-centric universe where things start with them and ripple outward. So, you know, of course, if you're upset, they're going to think like, oh, I did something. How can I make you better?
Right.
And I think, you know, now having older kids also, you know, we're talking that once they get a little bit older and understand sort of slightly more the complexities and the shades of emotions, it's not just sad, angry, happy, you know, what it's shades of things and some things coexist and they melt over each other and whatever, you know, it gives them a little bit better of an ability and an understanding to cope with those things.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Harper sort of like has been picking up the slack for me. Like that's her love language, I think, is partly like
acts of service.
The acts of service.
Yeah, I get that.
She's been like, she's been making dinner and like exploring cooking and like it's been very sweet.
Right.
Like she's like, I got it, Mom. Like you know, just take a minute and calm down and like process or whatever. And Lulu has been very much, you know, physical with me. Like she's like, let me hug you, let me be near you, let me sleep in your bed. And she has. She's been sleeping in my bed with me, like pretty much the whole time she's been with me. And I know that's also because she's processing the loss.
Right.
And she's very sad.
Right.
And so she, you know, she like wants to hold my hand a lot. And both of them have been like, Mom, if you weren't sad, if you weren't heartbroken,
we'd be like,
that'd
oh my
be
God,
weird.
Mom's a sociopath.
Yeah, that's what Harper said. She's like, I think you were a sociopath. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And Lulu was like, because I cry and then I apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry. This isn't how I want you to see me. I'm so sorry. I'm supposed to be helping you. And they're like, Mom, you're teaching us it's okay.
Right.
Like, it's
okay. And again, they're old enough to understand. And there's the fear that like, oh my gosh, Mom's crying. Are we going to, you know, is something going to happen? Are we, you know, it's a little bit different.
Well, so this article also talks about how children, they learn to navigate hardships in life, like by watching us. And that includes, you know, ending romantic relationships.
Yeah. A kid's what their life is going to be consisting of for the foreseeable future is, you know, coming. And I always say life is, you know, full of entrances and exits. It's a constantly revolving door. People are coming and going. And I mean, obviously nobody wants to disrupt their children's lives, but they need to understand that like, it's okay.
It's
people
okay.
People come and they go, and that doesn't mean you can't love anybody ever again.
Yeah. And, you know, and one of the most important things that we can do as parents is to express that sometimes things are hard and overwhelming and that we don't have a solution.
We tell our kids that all the time.
All the time. Like,
hey,
there's
we're not fucking
look,
up.
We did a do. Not a dumb, you know, and I've said to them many times, I'm like, I'm just going to feel this way until I don't.
Right.
You know, and Overtree said in the article, you know, it's okay to be devastated and it's a normal part of life to take these challenges and to get help from someone else.
Right.
And P.S. shout out to my fucking therapist who is a goddamn rock star and has, you know, been phenomenal. And, you know, go to therapy, get meds if you have to. I upped my medication. I mean, I had it upped. I didn't do it on my own. And I don't feel badly saying that. Like, I needed the help. If my leg was broken, I'd get a fucking cast until it healed. So my heart is broken and I'm getting some help for it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's also important for your children to see you go through something that's totally normal and human. Mm-hmm. And it'll teach them how to have empathy, you know, when a loved one is in pain. And, and like I said, my kids have been amazing about that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've talked about that before in relation to death, in relation to the pandemic. Again, walking through those things as a human being and letting your kids see how you're trying to get through it and that you're doing the best that you can and that sometimes you don't have all the answers. It helps them to understand a little bit that it's okay if they don't have all the answers sometimes.
So. Right.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that I wish, that life came with an instruction manual. Kids, parenting, all of it. But unfortunately, it does not. But if it did, I'd want to start the chapter that explains what to do when things are overwhelming.
Oh my gosh, seriously. Many people are burnt out without even knowing it. But after the last few years, you're likely familiar with it, even if you're not quite sure that that's what you're experiencing.
Yeah, people don't always realize it, but physical symptoms like lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment and fatigue are actually key indicators of burnout.
Yeah, I know that for me, burnout starts to feel like I can't really get a hold on anything. My anxiety gets overwhelming. I know that I'm not taking enough time for myself. I can't turn my brain off. And yet I can't really do anything either.
Oh, absolutely. It's the most overwhelming feeling of like that you want to do everything and you can do nothing all at once. It's just, it's really an awful feeling. And, you know, we associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause of it. Burnout can occur for a variety of reasons. So if any of this feels familiar to you, just know you don't have to suffer in silence and alone because there's always someone to turn to thanks to BetterHelp.
BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. And nobody knows this better than me because I am a life coach and a therapist. I'm also in therapy because therapy is that important. I don't know anybody at all that couldn't benefit from talking to somebody just to get it all out.
Yeah. And BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
Not only that, it's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Yeah, so give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy.
Never thought I'd say this, listeners. Get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/say this. That's BETTERHELP.com/say this.
Probably the most uncomfortable thing for people to have to do. I know it has been. I've been through this several times, many times in my life, is how to talk about the breakup with your kids. And, you know, each breakup comes with its own set of circumstances. But the number one thing that this article said to do was, you know, use child-friendly language, language that targets your children's age range. You know, if the topic is divorce, validate your kid, explain to them that this is not because of them or does it mean the end of the unit that they know as their family, you know, and explaining change to kids is hard. But, you know, in the case that the breakup is with someone you're dating that your child might never see again, you know, you have to make room for your children's grief too. And that's sometimes hard because, you know, I've definitely been in situations where it's very hard. You know, you understand that your children are grieving a loss, but at the same time, you're not in the same place or you're more relieved or you're more, or they're, you know, circumstances can be very complicated. I know I found myself in those as well. Mm-hmm. It's hard to talk to your kids about that. And it's hard to allow them to have their own grief and be sad, but it's okay. Being sad is okay. It just means that you're human and that you felt really good things on the other side of it, you know?
Right. And you can ask, you know, like talk to your kids and say, you know, it's really sad that we're not going to be able to see them anymore.
Right.
And I know it's hard for you too, like give them the room to. And that's hard, I think, when you're grieving, because it feels so overwhelming in your own body, in your own heart, mm-hmm. in your own mind, to take a minute. And listen, like they were my probably, you know, I went from this is awful for me probably within seconds to holy God, my kids.
Right.
You know, and I wanted to make sure that that's why, you know, my kids are very close, but I did actually have them come in each separately and talk to them to mm-hmm. give them space to express themselves without the other.
Right.
I would say if you have multiple kids, I would definitely do that, because sometimes, you know, like a sibling dynamic happens where.
Right, right, right.
They're like, I got to stay cool, or right, I got to protect.
Crying or so, right.
Right. You know, or like I was worried if I had them both come in, maybe Harper was going to try and be more stoic because she knew Lulu was upset.
Exactly.
You know,
I
gave them space to do it on their own.
That's smart.
And
really
express
smart.
Themselves. And I've left that open, you know, and they've both said things to me separately. I've also had to intercept some very sad text messages. Not that I wanted to stop any communication. I just felt like it was not going to get them anywhere.
Right.
And that was also a lesson, I think, for them, to let them know that sometimes your instinct about wanting to say beautiful things to somebody regardless isn't going to get you the outcome that you want.
Right.
And it's just better to let that person go.
Right.
That was probably one of the toughest things.
Yeah.
Wow, lots of feelings.
Oh, man. Well, the next thing that it talks about is manage feelings. How and when you share your feelings. And I think you've been doing, like you said, a pretty good job of that, where, you know, sharing with your kids is one thing, but dumping on them is another.
Right.
It's okay to share that, hey, I'm sad, I'm this and that. Don't go into details. Keep the conversation simple and appropriate. Your kids don't need to know the details of why things happened or why you broke up or whose fault was whose and who was tough. None of that matters, and it certainly doesn't matter to the kids, and it's really none of their business, and that can only make them feel more and more uncomfortable with, you know, that they have to choose sides or that they can't feel their own grief or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, focus on how they are reacting to the information, and if they're overwhelmed by it, you know, if they're starting to feel too much, like, just take a break, you know, and be like, we can be sad right now, and that's okay. We're all just going to be sad.
And let them know it's not because of them, you know? I mean, unless it is because they're assholes, I guess then, you know, tell them, no, that's over because you suck.
Right. I mean... That's the reason, maybe wait on that one.
No,
but
no, let them know it's not had nothing to do with them.
Right.
And, you know,
unless you really want to, you know, give them some big complexes. Yeah.
Yeah. Let them know it's not because of them. Let them know, like, I sort of back to the messages, you know, that they can't fix it.
Right.
As bad as they want to fix it.
Right.
You know, they can't fix it.
And to, while being able to do this, to stay in control, I mean, as much as reasonably possible. You know, obviously.
I'm not totally sure,
but
I've done that.
I think children need to know you're still capable as a parent. And I think your kids do. And again, this is an age range thing. You know, the toddler is going to have a very different reaction than the 15-year-old who's like, oh, I get heartbreak.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's okay to put off a conversation if you're too upset to have it until you can compose yourself a little more. Like that's okay. Take a breath, take a moment. And until you're in the place where you can really put your kids' feelings first when you're delivering this news to them, I would say wait until you're in that spot. You know, but the good news is kids are resilient. And I've had to remind myself of this over and over.
You've had to remind me of this over and over.
You know, at the end of the day, we're all a little fucked up, for better or worse. But like this kind of stuff is just the human experience part of it.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the fucked up stuff. This is just the love and loss and heartbreak and joy and all of that kind of wrapped up all into one. Like, that's what this stuff is. You know, this isn't the things that you need to protect your kids from. If anything, these are the things that you go, this is what life's about.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to my kids about a lot of things, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And listen, there's also a aspect of it for me, because I'm a child of divorce, who's been through a divorce. You know, where I constantly, I'm like, look, these things have happened, and I still believe in love.
Yeah,
I do. And, you know, I'm very sad. I'm not going to lie about it. And I'm sad for them. But I believe in love. And I believe that for every heartache, you learn something. And hopefully it makes you better and that you don't close off. I also, you know, I remember, though, being a kid and my mom having boyfriends that we were attached to, and then they were gone. And it is hard, you know, it is hard. But I don't, like, even when I look back at that and remember how sad she was and how hard it was to, like, let them go.
Right.
Look, it led to my stepdad. in the end.
It becomes the lesson that we all learn, which is that like the story's not over yet.
Right. So you never know what's going to happen.
The story's not done yet. You're still here. Things are still happening. Like, you don't know how this is going to turn out.
No.
Hindsight's always 20/20. You go, oh, well, I'm so glad that that happened now. But at the time, it was the worst thing to ever happen. But that will change and will shift with time, you know, and being able to let your kids recognize and see that like, oh, things change. And, you know, look, for better or worse, your kids have been through some shit. Loss and heartbreak already.
Yeah.
And so they understand like this, oh, okay, I know what this feels like. And I know in the beginning it really sucks, but I know that I will get through it. And I know my mom will get through it. And I know we'll still be okay. Mm. So, you know, just know that like, yes, it's another loss, but at the same time, it's just one more reminder for them that like, you pick yourself up and you keep going. And this is what we do. And we've done it before and we'll do it again. And this is what life is sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and both of them have honestly, they've also like thanked me for being so open about it and honest. And, you know, Lulu has said things like, you know, I'm just glad that I live with a mom who normalizes crying and feelings. Right. And, you know, I know I'm allowed to be sad and I don't have to hide it from you. And I'm like, yeah, you are allowed to be sad, you know, and that's all right. I appreciate that they have both like really shown me their feelings. They could have been angry.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, they could have been angry. And I think that's a normal reaction too.
And they may still be angry. And there still may come flashes of anger and all of that and all those fun things that come along with loss and grief.
Right. But so far, they've been nothing but, I mean, like truly, it's been eye-opening for me to watch them just how deeply they love and are able to, because of that love, you know, feel what they feel and learn to let go of somebody that they love.
Yeah. They're good kids and they're going to be okay.
I hope so. I want to thank everybody that knows that has been reaching out to me. I know like, you know, people have picked up on it. Like I mentioned, Dee Dee was one of them who right away, you know, I told her to kind of spread the word to like fan pages and stuff. And they were great. And Denise, who runs one of my accounts, is like, thank God. I mean, you guys have been lovely and wonderful. And all, you know, my friends who have been holding me up, I feel so lucky that I have you all in my life. You know, I have a team of people that are there and with me and for my kids who are like, you know, Jody Suter giving me like my pep talk, Jeff Serber, you know, asking me if there was anyone he needed to kill, you know, jokingly, but maybe not.
That's what we do. We rally around.
Yeah, I have my village and I feel very grateful for that because there were times in my life that I didn't, you know. Right. So I just want any single mom, single dad, anyone out there who's going through a breakup of any kind, please know that you're not alone. Find your team. And your team might be one fucking person. Your team might be your dog or your cat. Good Lord. George Michael is like attached to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like attached to me. He knows that something's been up. So he's just been like with me. I don't care. And I did look up some stuff about, you know, what you can do self-care wise to help just lift up your spirits. And some things were, you know, meditation, which I've gone back to. I had to take a little break off of yoga for a bit. It was a little too much for my body, but I went back today. Felt great. Thank God, Jenny Brill. Go out in the sunlight, get some vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D really helps you. Pets. That was one of them, you know, and they were like, stick your face into your pet's fur and like, it's like it releases an endorphin, which is, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Binge
Except
watch.
If your dog keeps peeing on herself in the middle of the night.
We got to talk about that. Jesus Christ. Like, I don't know what that's about. And then what was some of the other ones? Oh, you know, just leaning on friends and knowing when to say no.
So basically what I'm hearing you say is don't be alone, but be in the sun while burying your face in your dog's neck.
Or your cat.
Or your cat.
Or your raccoon. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are so many weird and questionable materials in baby products these days. Parenting can be really scary. I mean, you want to keep your baby safe and protected without sacrificing their comfort, but you also don't want like weird chemicals on them. It's a lot to think about.
It is a lot to think about. You want to be able to at least be able to pronounce the, you know, ingredients and things that you're going to put on your baby. And with Coterie, your baby can have both the cleanest and the highest performing diapers that are also extremely comfortable on their little tushies.
You know, I remember being a new parent and like, it was so overwhelming, the amount of diapers that you go through and then feeling bad if they get a rash that like somehow it's your fault because you're not changing them more often. I mean, it was so much and so overwhelming. And I just remember like I wanted to do the best for my baby. And that's why Coterie is the highest performing diaper on the market for infants and toddlers. That's because it holds up to 2 times more liquid capacity with up to 4 times faster moisture wicking versus other brands, which would have been really helpful for my little one who would get rashes.
Mine wouldn't stay asleep or in a diaper if it was even a little bit wet. And with Coterie, your baby stays drier longer. And Coterie parents report fewer nighttime diaper changes, which translates into better sleep quality for your baby and for you too. Man, could I have used that.
Ooh, yeah. And Coterie diapers are made with clothing grade material. So it gives your baby a cashmere-like feel so that they are more comfortable because, you know, who doesn't love a little bit of a cashmere feel on their bottom?
I would. They are also dermatologist tested and they use only the cleanest ingredients. Plus, Coterie wipes are National Eczema Association approved. I keep some in my bag. Why not? They're awesome.
Yeah, the Coterie wipes are amazing. All that and Coterie's been awarded best diaper and wipes by both The Bump and Parrots.com. So forget about nighttime leaks and wet sheets and try the Rolls Royce of diapers. Coterie.
Right now, Coterie is partnering with our podcast to offer you 20% off of your first order, plus free shipping at coterie.com/say this.
That's Coterie spelled coterie.com/say this for 20% off and free shipping. That's coterie.com/say this.
Speaking of raccoons, there was a raccoon on my fence.
There was a raccoon that was like stalking her the other day.
But during the day, you guys, during the... No, it's not.
It is.
They're nocturnal.
They will come out when it's really hot. They actually will come out.
I think this motherfucker was trying to kill me. I think he was rabid. I think he had plans. I went out there. I was like, hey, go away, and started clapping. This little asshole like sat up on his rear legs and like had his little hands. I was like, he's going to strangle me.
Wow.
I closed the office door. I was afraid.
Where was Issa? You should have Issa park
it. That was the last thing I wanted, was a potentially rabid raccoon getting into it with Issa.
I guess that's like an old Yeller situation we don't need at all. So
wow.
Because wasn't it? It was a raccoon, right?
God.
Never mind. That's bad advice. fuck me. That's a don't.
This is why you don't have dogs.
That is true. My cats are homeschooled, meaning they stay inside.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And one can't run very fast anyway.
Actually, he's pretty fast for, you know, 3/4 of a cat. You'd be surprised how fast that motherfucker could move.
Fairly low, though.
Yeah, well, he's so good, though. He's such a good boy.
He has been excellent for you. And I'm so glad that you have George Michael.
Me too.
I'm so glad that you have your girls and Milk Bar Pie.
I'm so glad I have you.
Oh.
I want you guys to know I knew obviously we were doing this episode and I had to like gear up for it because I knew I was going to cry, although I didn't break down. No. So that's something. But when I did, I like specifically I'm wearing my sister's t-shirt.
Oh, yay.
My sister is actually in this necklace.
Hi, Julie.
Her ashes are in here.
She's in there. She's joining us for the podcast.
This is her bracelet. And this is a bracelet that Jody got me that says, and inside there's an inscription that says sisters by choice. So I have my sister and my other sister. And I love you. And
I love you too.
Thank you for holding me up through this.
Absolutely. I'm here for you. I love you. And if there's anybody that can make really poorly timed, inappropriate jokes and make you laugh to get through this, it is me.
This is true.
So you've given me comedy to write. I just need somebody to entertain.
What did you say? You're like, the other day, you were like, I'm the bouncer of your emotions.
That's right. Yeah. I was like, I'm the bouncer of your emotions. We're like, yeah, no, you've been kicked out. You've been kicked. Yeah, get the fuck out. You want to come back in here?
No.
Banned for life, motherfucker. And I'm like standing at the door. I picture myself to be a really tall, bald man at the door to your emotions,
you're like,
sounds really strange, but whatever.
I was picturing you like Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad, like, you know, just a little off my, you know, in a fugue sort of state, a little off your rocker. Just
oh,
like
maybe.
A little
bit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's on brand.
I thought so. Oh, I don't know where our game is. Do we have an our
I think our game is shot.
We're gonna lay. I want a card. I feel like this episode needs a fucking card. Because we are.
Right, hold on.
Oh my God, Sabrina's like attached
trying
to
the,
get
it's
to.
It's so great. I went and not right. Right.
She's like attached to the computer. That was like an umbilical cord or something.
That is producer love right there.
That
okay.
Was awesome. Oh my God! And you guys, thank you for watching our YouTube. We've moved over the podcast to YouTube, and you guys are watching and
really?
Like leaving great comments. And thank you.
Look at us. I mean, look at you. But look,
you're looking at us.
We're looking at you. Looking at us. Okay. Because I was saying,
just spit her drink out.
I'm a transparent eyeball.
I was like, what are we, Soren from fucking Lord of the Rings? We can't see them.
I know that. It's not fucking Romper Room, okay? Like, I know I'm not like, I see Sabrina and I see Celia.
It sounded so stalkery. You're like, we're looking at you, looking at us, looking at you.
Right. It sounded creepy. It sounded fucking creepy. Pick a card about what you're grateful for.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Other than me staring at you 24 hours a day.
I'm picking right from the middle. You know why? Because why not? It's weird. Broccoli. Sure, why not?
It makes you a little gassy.
Broccoli is such a badass vegetable, looking like a sturdy little tree, but being all small and cute. You can't help but feel like a badass tree and giant when you're chomping on some broccoli.
That's like you. Look at you're a badass little vegetable that is like that looks like a sturdy. Well, no, you don't look like a. I don't mean it like that.
Sabrina just spit her water all over the floor when she called me a badass vegetable.
What? I just meant like you're looking like a sturdy little tree, but being all small and cute. And then I was like, well, nobody wants to be described as a sturdy little tree.
No, they really want to be described as a badass vegetable.
Better than a pathetic vegetable, is all I'm
saying. I suppose.
Right?
What would nothing a pathetic worse. Vegetable be?
Eggplant.
I love eggplant. Eggplant's kind of badass.
Look at eggplant. Slice an eggplant and leave it on a plate. It just lays there. Gross.
All right.
Cooked eggplant. I guess not maybe.
I love eggplant.
Anyway.
That was a disservice.
You don't get to be eggplant. You get to be broccoli.
I am broccoli. I'm a badass fucking vegetable. We're going to get like censored on YouTube.
Oh, I like this one. Here we go. Things to be grateful for. Feminist men.
Woohoo.
Despite the infinite pressure to conform to the dictates of the cult of masculinity, lots of men show their hearts, their silliness, and their fears to the world. And they stand up to misogyny even when women aren't around. Feminist men catch a rash of shit from the dude bro crowd. Fuck the dude bro crowd.
God.
And probably don't get thanked enough. So thank you, feminist men, for doing the right thing. The world is getting better because of you. And I am very lucky to have a feminist man of my own.
You sure do.
I mean, not like I own him, but
he is badass. I steal from his stories so frequently. I love because sometimes he'll steal from mine. And I'm like,
you
I feel
know
like
why? That's because you're a badass vegetable.
I am a badass vegetable. I feel like that's actually like Mescal and I's like shout out to each other. Whenever he like reposts one of my stories or I repost one of his.
You're a badass vegetable.
I know. And I feel like now we need to like change the title of the show to
you're
badass.
You're a badass vegetable. Yeah, you're a badass vegetable. Yep.
I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know. It's fucking Monday. My internet is out.
I know. And I cried.
Everything. You cried. I don't know. I ate too much sugar. I ate like 4 cupcakes yesterday and some cake. I don't know what happened.
You sent me a pie. I ate a pie.
But you're going through a breakup and not eating other things. I was just eating cupcakes because I was bored.
But they're cupcakes. So why fucking
exactly.
Would you?
And the buttercream is amazing. Anyway. So all right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on yet another episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. Through all of our ups and our downs, our Never Nationers are there, and we just want to let you guys know that we appreciate you very, very much. So if you want to find us on the internet, you can check us out at Never Thought I'd Say This across all socials. You can also check out our YouTube channel where we are posting video of our podcast episodes a week after they premiere on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So come check those out. Never Thought I'd Say This on YouTube. You can find me at Jody Sweeten across all socials. You can email us at neverthoughtide@protonmail.com, and they can find you at the Celia Behar on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And
Twitter, I guess,
whatever. Yeah. And anyway, thanks you guys, thanks for being here. Celia, I love you.
We love you.
Thank you for being brave and sharing all of your stuff with us. And remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game
and not your kids
or your vegetables.
That's vegetables.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jodie Sweetin and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.